Hi, Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you've been tuning out these pension battle stories because you have confidence in your own personal retirement plan, you might want to reconsider. The median household, headed by a person aged 60 to 62 with a 401k account, has less than a quarter of what is needed in that account to maintain that person's standard of living in retirement. Talk about not quite living up to the hype. Whatever happened to the ownership society? Joining me now to talk about this is E.S. Browning, stock market reporter for The Wall Street Journal, who wrote about this development in 401ks. And welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And should I call you E.S.? I know your friends call you Jim.
Everybody calls me Jim, so please do.
I shall. So there are some shocking shortfalls that you report about. I guess they're not shocking to the millions of Americans who've been looking at their statements and shaking their heads, but I'll ask you what they're probably asking themselves. What happened?
Well, the bottom line is that companies decided it was too expensive to offer pensions, and so they switched people over. Since the 80s, people have been switched over to 401ks, and 401ks require that people regularly and steadfastly save a large amount of their salary, and people just are not very good at that. Some things come up, expenses arrive, the stock market turns down, they think they have a lot of money, suddenly they don't. Bottom line is people have not saved enough.
Is it the fault of the people or the fault of the 401k itself?
It's a little hard to blame an inanimate object, but part of the problem that people have is that
I get it. 401ks don't ruin people financially. People ruin people financially. Yes, yes.
Right. Guns don't kill people.
Yes.
The real problem is that people have not gotten a lot of very good advice about what to do, and they don't really start looking for advice until it's too late, when they're in their 50s and all of a sudden discover they haven't got enough, and so they go to a financial planner, and the guy says, "Yeah, you haven't got enough. You know, what are they going to do?" And then they end up working longer if they can. In many cases, they can't. So they start looking for part-time work. They move to a smaller house. They just spend less. The bottom line is that people are just not going to have the kind of retirement they thought they were.
And even if you do follow the rules, you reported that Vanguard has had long said you should put, to be a responsible investor and have this retirement that the 401k promises you, put 9% to 12% in your 401k. Well, it turns out the stock market really underperformed and there was a very bad economy and people got laid off. And now Vanguard's revising its figure, saying, you know what, you should really put 12 to 15%. So I didn't see Vanguard issue a huge mea culpa. I just heard that they've revised their recommendation upwards.
Right. They're not actually saying they were wrong in the past. What they're saying is that Social Security and Medicare are much less sure today than they seemed to be some years ago, and the stock market has turned turbulent, and so therefore people would be wise to save 12 to 15% rather than 9 to 12%. The fact is, what people are putting in is 9%, including what the company puts in. So they were on the low end of the recommendation to start with, and now they're way, way below the recommended amount.
Right. And though, it is, of course, the company's responsibility. If you were following their recommendation, even on the low end, and you find yourself, like a lot of people, not even coming close to making up the difference, I guess the figure is you should make in retirement about 85% of your salary. Again, whose fault is that, the 401ks or the people who are following directions?
Well, another way to look at this is that it used to be that your company took care of you.
Yeah.
And they gave you a pension, and you could be pretty sure when you started working there that you were going to have a certain amount in retirement. Well, for some time now, companies have stopped doing that. They don't take care of their employees. They don't expect even that their employees will work for them very long. So you get a 401k instead, and whoever's fault it is, it's your problem. It's not the company's problem. And the bottom line is that people are facing retirement now with too little money, and the lesson is to younger people, don't let this happen to you.
And what about you, I ask our listeners, have you been watching your 401k shrink or not do as well as you thought it would do? And what are you doing to adjust for that? Please give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Has your 401k surprised you? Have 401ks worked out very well for anyone?
people that were really, really good at planning for the future. The good thing about 401ks is that they're tax deferred, so you save money without paying taxes. It's pre-tax money. Eventually, you pay taxes when you withdraw them. So they're not a bad thing. It's not bad to have a 401k. It's sort of like a health savings account if you want to compare it to something. It's not a bad thing to have pre-tax money. The bad thing is that the onus goes on to the individual, and individuals are not really great at financial planning.
Right. Well, I was also thinking with my have they worked out for anyone, financial companies themselves, I mean, these were great sellers for them and continue to be?
It's worked out great for the financial community. Financial planners, money managers, companies that design 401k programs, they have made out like bandits.
And another factor with 401ks is it does give a lot of power to the individual investor, if you wanted to. I mean, you could just put it in a fund that tracks the market and leave it alone, and that might be wisest. But, you know, human nature, I've seen study after study that says when the market starts tanking, that's exactly when people pull their money out of the market, which is the exact wrong thing.
It's
also part of the shift from government and companies saying, I'll take care of you, is, you know, you're left more to the vagaries of making mistakes that a government or a company might not make, an individual would make.
Yeah, I mean, governments make plenty of mistakes, too.
I've noticed that, yes.
And even professional money managers are not necessarily great at beating the market. It's really smart, in my personal opinion, as a young person, to buy index funds, to diversify, to save as much money as you possibly can, and to avoid the temptation to try to guess what the market is going to do in the future. That is my personal view, and I think it's supported by lots and lots of experience and studies. The sad truth is that people don't do that.
Bob in Staten Island, how's your 401k doing?
Actually, it's doing okay.
That's good.
The problem I've always had is I've been retirement money doing well, cash on hand doing poor. And the reason why is because there's always these needs that come up that whenever I get a good gain in any stock I purchase or whatever, the wife says, well, we need a new kitchen. We need a... and that taps into it, and I says, if I could ever just leave that money there and let it grow, and I know too many people that tapped into their 401ks when the gains were good back a few years ago, and now when the losses came, they can't ride out the storm.
But you feel the 401k is delivered on its promise. It's all up to you to not put your hand in the cookie jar.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks, Bob. That's another interesting thing, and we're talking with E.S. Browning. Let's call him Jim Browning of the Wall Street Journal on 401ks. But, you know, for 401ks, you can take money out. There sometimes is a penalty. And if you do, you have no one but yourself to blame unless you absolutely have to take money out. But again, it's a little different from, you know, a nanny state model or different from a we'll take care of our citizens type model.
Yeah, and you can borrow against them, too. That's a very unfortunate aspect of 401ks. I mean, it's your money, so I guess there's an argument that, you know, in case of need, you should be able to foolishly waste it. But that is a big, big problem. Lots and lots of people, especially in this horrible recession that we've been through with so many people unemployed, What can they do? They're faced with foreclosure. Will they pay the mortgage or will they leave the money in the 401k? What would you do?
All right. In many ways, you know, this whole discussion is leading me to think that 401ks are pretty much a huge referendum on basic economic debates. You know, should the individual be allowed to make his own choices and own mistakes and he'll be better off? Should we care for the individual if they, either circumstances or through poor planning, find themselves in a situation where they're only a quarter of a way to retirement? There are these touchstones.
Yeah. It seems to me that a lot of this argument, I think, is kind of circular and useless. I mean, the nanny state is declining. Corporations are not going to restore pensions to people. The real issue is how do you make this work correctly for people, given that people are really bad at financial planning? And I think part of the answer is that people need, number one, better advice, and number two, they need to be pushed much harder to contribute money to these things. One good thing is that when you start a job now at a company with a 401k, they automatically sign you up. It used to be they didn't do that.
Right.
You can still opt out, but they do automatically sign you up. And, you can debate whether people should be allowed to opt out of these things. But this also raises another question. There's been talk from time to time about privatizing Social Security. Well, given the performance of individual investors over the last 10 or 15 years, you have to wonder what the merit would be of letting them have control of their Social Security accounts.
Yeah, I mean, and the opt-in versus opt-out, straight down the line, economists would say it would be rational. There should be no difference. If it's rational, it's rational. But a behavioral economist would note that, people make different decisions, and it's not always based what a totally rational actor would do. 401ks highlight that, too. Mary from Ocean Grove, New Jersey, how's your 401k?
My 401k has come back, so I'm all right at this point. And you have made some of the points I was going to make, but one of them is 401ks. I know we're beyond the debate of 401k versus pension,
yeah.
But 401ks have always benefited women far more than pension plans have, where women contribute to pension plans but very rarely are around long enough to collect on pension plans. 401ks, in contrast, women contribute to them. They're portable. As they move in and out of the job market with other family responsibilities, they don't lose the money. So that's always been a plus for 401ks. The other thing is I totally agree with your speaker that companies need to do more to advise people. They've been loath to do it. And one of the real challenges for employees is when they have to choose among the 96 investments. Behavioral economics shows that when people have too many choices, they make no choice at all.
It's the paradox of choice, I believe, is the phrase.
I think it will. The jelly jar experiment
yeah.
is how I know it.
Yes. Which is so, if you give people a choice between two or three jelly jars, they're pretty happy. You give them 19, they become flummoxed and very frustrated.
And they don't buy any jelly at all.
Yeah. Right. So thanks for the call, Mary.
You're welcome.
And thanks for the jelly analogies. Jim, what she was saying, I mean, you could take either of her points, but is there research showing that they are good for women? And do you know anything about, too many choices?
Well, too many choices... the scientific research shows that people have trouble making choices when there are too many of them. On the other hand, a lot of 401ks offer too few choices. In many cases, people in the old days were pushed to put their money into the company stock, which was a really bad idea. People ought to be able to diversify in 401ks. There ought to be a fund that permits you to invest in emerging markets and a fund that permits you to invest in European markets and a fund that invests in small stocks and big stocks. You ought to have a variety. You ought to have several different indexes that you can invest in. You ought to have a fund that is automatically diversified. A lot of 401ks now automatically put you into such a fund, which gradually shifts you out of stocks and into more stable investments as you get older. One big problem with 401ks is that they're all individually designed, which is A, expensive, and B, confusing. It would be nice if there was some kind of gold standard for 401ks, but it really is a wheel that gets reinvented by each company along the way.
Right. That's not how the companies who peddle them would make money, right?
Right.
Yeah. Another point is that's in your article and that you've raised is if you want to really max out your 401k and do investing correctly, you should start young. And Elizabeth in Carroll Gardens, you did. How's your 401k?
It's actually doing really pretty well, and I've been excited the last few months with what the stock market's been doing. But my parents got me started when I was first working and put money into my IRA for me. And then when I had a first job, they said you have to at least match what the company puts in. And then when I was able to, I started maxing out my 401k in my late 20s and early 30s and did that until now, which now I'm actually unemployed as of last fall, but it's not a scary place to be right now.
Yeah. I mean, is that the way to do it, Jim?
Yeah. It's really important not to do what most people do, which is just get the company match, then put in the minimum to do that. I mean, it's important to do that, but it's important to not just to do that. What that lady did, maxing out her contributions, is what people are going to have to start doing if they want to retire with a decent income.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. And so overall, in the industry itself, I mean, I've asked you a few questions to this point. But in the industry itself, maybe the fathers or the people have been thinking about this. Do they say, hey, what did you expect from a 401k? Or do they, in a moment of honesty, say, yeah, they've really been a little disappointing based on what we thought they'd do?
When you talk to people in the business, they will – it's very hard to talk to them about whether they're adequate. They will talk to you about how to make them better. About how important it is for companies to automatically put you into a 401k. That, as you might imagine, the 401k industry thinks that's a really great idea. When you start asking them questions about adequacy, they say, oh, very hard to measure. Cases are so individual, that sort of thing. They get squishy about it. But they acknowledge, if you really push them, they'll acknowledge that the majority of Americans do not have enough money to retire on.
Let's go to Buddy from Brooklyn. I like saying
hey,
both.
Hey, how are you today?
I like saying, hey, Buddy, and how's your 401k?
My 401k is actually doing quite well. I just want to tell our listeners that you really should take into mind all of the literature that you get and read up on the funds that you want to invest in, because I have been laid off for nearly a year, and my account, even though I haven't made any contributions, is still doing well. It's still climbing with the market. So it's just, right. Yeah. You know, we pay to do your homework, basically.
It pays to do your homework. You know, Buddy's example, the people who it worked out for, I take it that, well, we just heard from the one caller who said, you know, she's unemployed now, but she did everything right. There's this concept of failing well, you know? So a system, an investment vehicle, obviously, if you do everything right and you make a lot of money and you try to give maximum contributions, things will work out well. But what about, you know, the fact that there is a lot of unemployment now and that the stock market hasn't been going, you know, you could have invested 12 years ago in the stock market and not seen huge gains over all of those 12 years. Do 401ks, you know, fail well, Jim?
One thing that strikes me is we've now had two callers say, I'm unemployed, but my 401k is just fine.
Yeah.
I have to wonder about that. They're not making contributions to their 401k. Why do they think it's just fine? Because the stock market is going up? There's an old saying on Wall Street, do not confuse brains with a bull market. If the market is going up, you feel smart because your investments are going up. Well, that's not the way you're going to accumulate money to retire on, by relying on your investments going up all the time. You shouldn't be heavily dependent on a bull market in order to retire. We've discovered that over the last 15 years. Stocks have made very, very little progress over that. That's one of the biggest problems that a lot of people in their early 60s have right now. It's very important to diversify, and being unemployed is one of the most damaging experiences for somebody with a 401k, because not only are you not contributing, the steady contributions are just essential, but on top of that, you're tempted to take money out in order to pay your costs. People with families who are on unemployment, if they have big mortgages, which, you know, a lot of Americans do, they've got to find the money for that somewhere. I think unemployment right now is the single biggest threat to a lot of people's livelihood.
And, you know, some of these callers who maybe are saying my 401k is just fine, even if it looks like you paint an economic picture around the sum of $150,000. If you have $150,000 in your 401k, you point out in your article, you're earning less than $10,000 a year in an annuity. That's not anywhere near enough to live on.
That's such a good point. A lot of people think their 401ks are great until they actually visit a financial advisor and find out the awful truth. A lot of the people that I talked to for my story that I quoted in the story said, I thought I was in good shape, and then I went to see my financial advisor, and he said I had a 5% chance of hitting my retirement target, or I had the risk that my money was going to run out at the age of 85.
Yeah.
People think they're fine until they check the numbers.
Yeah, and you also talk about diversifying. There's another example in your story about the woman who diversified after the fact, which is not diversification. The stock market went down, so she put her money in bonds. I mean, you have to do it beforehand, and hopefully, even when it looks like you'd be, for years and years, it looked like you'd be a sucker to invest in bonds, but the diversification mantra of all the stock market investment tips has really turned out to be the right one over the years, no?
Yeah, in the late 90s, you had to be a complete idiot to invest in bonds, except that it turned out that for the 15 years after that, bonds were one of the best things that you could own, and stocks were the place not to be. People just should not try to pick investments.
All right. I want to thank you. E.S. Browning, Jim Browning, wrote about 401ks for the Wall Street Journal. A good report, an interesting topic. Look up your 401ks and get smart on this issue. Thanks a lot, Jim.
You bet.
In a moment, gay superheroes. Stick around.